Well, good morning, New Hope. I am Yayo, and I'm the associate pastor here. And let me start by welcoming everyone who's watching us online and Facebook. And if you are new with us today, welcome to New Hope. We are glad that you are here with us this morning. And I know I am not Pastor Rusty. Our pastor is on a well-deserved vacation, and guess what? You guys are stuck with me today. And I know for some of you, this is still a new face, so let me reintroduce myself. My name is Yayo Espinosa, and let me help you how to pronounce that. Think of a yo-yo and just add the A, Yayo. And if that's hard for you, my name is also Jose, so just think of no way, Jose. My family and I, we've been here for now 5 and 6 weeks, and we are loving every second of it. And we just want to say thank you for making our family welcome. We are excited to be with you this morning and to be with New Hope. Now let's continue our series, What's Next? In life, many of us have asked that question. What's next after high school? What's next after college? What's next after I find this new job or get this promotion? What's next after I found the love of my life? What's next after I get married? What's next after kids? What's next after the kids are leaving the home? What's next after that TikTok video I just posted? What's next after that Instagram post? Or maybe you're just asking yourself, what's the next chapter of my life? And today, and this morning, I want us to unpack that question by asking another question. What's next after I meet Jesus? What's next after the resurrection? What's next after I've been walking with God for a long time? What's next? Last week, Pastor Rusty talked about how Thomas' life changed after the resurrection. From doubting Thomas to a devoted follower of Christ, Thomas. And this morning, we are going to talk about another disciple, also known as Peter. And many of us know him as Simon Peter. On the first day of Christ's death, Peter had no idea what was next for him. Peter ended up falling back to his old self and to his routines. And what happened to Peter after the resurrection, Peter's life changed completely and made him into the man you and I know him today, the rock of the church. And something that we can learn from Peter is this. What's next for you can be the turning point of your life. So, what's next for you? What's next for you? And that's what we are going to talk about today. How Peter went from denying Jesus 3 times to becoming a full devotee of Christ. And I want us to look back at Peter's journey when he first encountered Christ. Do you remember where Peter was at? Do you remember where Peter was when he first met Jesus? He was on his boat in the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus called him for the first time. Jesus performs a miracle in front of Peter and his brother Andrew that changed his life completely. Do you guys remember that miracle? Peter and his brother, they were fishing all night, but they couldn't catch any fish. So the following day, Jesus shows up and tells them, hey, throw your net on the other side. And guess what happened? The biggest catch of the world happens for Peter. And that transformed Peter's life. And that's when his journey began. And Jesus calls him and tells them, and I want us to read here, Matthew 4:19. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Peter decided to follow Christ that day. That was his next move. That was his next thing. And as we read the Gospels, we see Peter as a strong character, outspoken, loyal, a fighter, a defender. We see Peter as a great, secure leader who knows what he wants and what's next in his life. And nothing gets Peter off guard. Peter is the person the disciples look up to. Peter is that quarterback we all see. Peter is that quarterback we want to be like. That was Peter. Peter has everything under control. He knows how to run the show. He has no fear until he doesn't. And became the opposite of what we see in Peter. From strong to weak, from loyal to unloyal. From I would not deny Jesus to deny him, not once, but three times. So have you ever been in a position like that before, like Peter? When you felt you have everything under control until you just don't. And maybe you didn't deny Jesus like Peter did, but maybe you did. And you feel shame of yourself. And maybe there is something you are struggling with that doesn't allow you to sleep at night. It keeps you up every night. You feel overwhelmed. You feel stressed. Anxiety kicks in. And perhaps you are this close of giving up. And you decide to come to New Hope to find an answer, a sign of hope. And you are saying to yourself right now, what's next for me? What's next for me? As we continue studying Peter was not present when Jesus died. He was not at the cross when he died. And maybe Peter heard what was happening around him, and maybe he was hoping for a different outcome. But at that moment, Peter is at his lowest. So what's next for him? Maybe Peter is hiding in regret, feeling sorry for himself, and maybe Peter is ready to give up. And today we are going to look at John 20, and we are going to see where Peter is at. And to give you a little bit of context here, it was early Sunday morning, and Mary Magdalene found that the stone had been rolled away from Jesus, from Jesus' tomb. So she found Peter and another disciple and said, they have taken the Lord's body. And now let's see what happens. John 20, 3-4 says here, Peter and the other disciple started out from the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I want us to think here for a second. Peter is outrun. The leader, the quarterback is outrun. How is this possible? How is this strong leader outrun? And I can feel and I can see that maybe Peter is still broken, feeling shame, with no hope. But something that we can see is that there is still a leader in Peter. And I want us to read here. John 20, 5 says here. The other disciple, the one who got there first, says here. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. So we see that Peter takes the first step and goes inside. And we can see that Peter's still that leader. And we can see that there's still a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith in Peter. And Peter encouraged the other disciple to go inside by leading by example. So with that being said, I want to tell you this. Even at your lowest point, there is still a leader in you. Even when you feel that you are the worst, there is still a leader in you. Even when you feel that you don't have it and that you every decision you make, there is still a leader in you. Even when you feel that everyone is telling you the worst, let me tell you this. Christ sees the best in you. And Peter was still impacting people in his life without even him knowing it. And after Peter goes inside the tomb, like we read, the other disciple also goes in. And I want us to see what happens. I want us to see the reaction of the other disciple. John 28 says here, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw, and everybody together says here, and believe. The other disciple believe. Just like this disciple followed Peter's example, there is people in your life following your example. Maybe today you are feeling that you are not good enough, that you don't have it under control. But if you hear, you are showing the example to the people around you. That even when you don't have it, you are still being a leader. And maybe you don't see it that way. But if you are struggling, but your kids are seeing you read the Bible and you praying, you are showing them and leading by example, even though you don't feel that you have it. Maybe you feel that you're not good enough, that you're a failure, a quitter, but there is still a leader in you. So I just want to tell you this, don't give up. Don't give up. There's still hope in Christ. After that moment that Peter and the other disciple had the tomb, Peter went back home. Then we can see Peter fall back to his old self, to his old routines. Going from fisher of men, going back to fisher of fish. He goes back. So I want us to read so we can see this. Simon Peter say, I am going fishing. We all come too, they all say, the other disciples. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. We can see Peter, as the leader of the pack, the disciples are still following him. But we also can see Peter giving up. Hey, guys, I'm just going back fishing. I don't know if this happens to you, but when you feel that you don't have it under control, you go home and you say to yourself, hey, man, I'm just going to my room. You don't even play Xbox. You don't even turn the TV on. You just lay down in your room feeling shame of yourself, feeling that you don't have it. You just go back to your old self and your old routines. And that's what happens with Peter. He goes back to what he knows. And sometimes we do the same. When life gets hard, we want to go back to what we know. When life gets hard, we want to go back to what we know. For some, it can be going back to habits you told yourself you were not going to do again. But you go back to that because that's what you know. Maybe you told yourself, I'm not going back to that toxic relationship. But you go back because that's all you know. Because it's easy to go back to our old selves. And your next step is moving backwards instead of forwards. But God has called us to go forward to the unknown. And that makes us uncomfortable because we want to know. We can see in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, God calling his people to move forward to the unknown. And let me tell you this. Maybe we don't know, but guess what? He knows. So we need to trust him. In 2019, I was in a position where I have given up. And I thought my next step was to go back to where I knew, to what I knew. In 2018, I made the hardest decision of my life to come to Stafford, Virginia, to plant a church from ground zero, to start a church. And let me tell you this. This was a challenge for me. I speak Spanish, but not perfect Spanish. So I'm about to reach a first-generation church that may not understand what I'm saying. So if you hear an accent in English, I also have an accent in Spanish. So how in the world am I about to do this? But I took that step and went forward. I was like, okay, I'm doing this. So when I asked for, there's an organization that can support me, I went to them and asked them for support. They denied me. And they told me I'm not qualified to be a church planter. And they advised for me to go back where I came from. But guess what? Yayo ain't no quitter. I don't quit. Amen. I don't quit. So I kept moving forward. And 4 months into my new role as a church planter, the guy who was supposed to coach me and train me and show me how to start a church from ground zero decides to leave me hanging and to quit on me and tells me, you got 2 weeks to tell your boss that I'm not going to work with you anymore. Now, at that moment, I am in my car, my 2013 Equinox, at a parking lot on a Tuesday morning, crying, asking God, why did you bring me here to fail? Why? I was comfortable being a music director. I was living the dream in Memphis, Tennessee, and you brought me here to fail. Why, Lord? Why? Then I also question my calling. Maybe I'm not meant to be a minister. Maybe I'm not meant to work at a church. Maybe I should go back and get a normal 6 a.m. or 8 to 9 job or 8 to 4 job. But as I was angry, crying, God spoke to me through his word. And this verse came to my heart and remind me of my calling. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what's next for Yayo? What do I decide? I want us to go back to Peter for a second. Peter's back fishing. He became a fisherman again. And now we can see that we are back where we started, in the Sea of Galilee. And guess what happens next? Jesus shows up from far away. And Jesus tells Peter and the men in the boat that were around him, says this. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? And they all say, no, they reply. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Church, guess who's back? Jesus is back. Okay, and at that moment, the people in that boat believed that he was back. The broken and shameless Peter jumped into the boat and ran to Jesus. And nobody outran him anymore. He went to Jesus. Then Jesus tells him, let's go out to eat, y'all. Let's have some breakfast. Let's have some fish tacos. And turns out to Jesus as they having breakfast. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know I love you. You know everything. You know I love you. Then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What's next for Peter is to lead the sheep. But Peter had to believe first that Christ rose from the dead, and that Christ has forgiven him. By taking Peter back to the beginning, to the moment of his calling, Jesus gave Peter a new start and a new challenge. Peter would indeed be fishing again for people. Peter realized that despite his failings, Jesus has forgiven him. And let me tell you this. The same happened to me in 2019. I was looking for my next step. And Jesus took me back to his promise. And his promise was that I was not alone and that he was going to be all the way in my life. After the craziness I had with the coach, trying to figure out what's next for my life, my pastor, my boss, took me to Starbucks and asked me two questions. Question number one, Yayo, do you want to go back home? I will call your boss so you can get your job back. We'll give you some money so you can be comfortable. I was thinking inside, this is my ticket. I can go back to my house, to my mom, to my friends. I can go back. This is it. But at the same time, that verse, Galatians 2:20, came in. It's no longer I who lives, but him who lives through me. So before I could answer, my boss asked a second question. Yayo, do you want to stay and plant a church? We don't know how to do it, but we will figure it out together. And I promise you this, that the Lord will be with us. So what do I do next? What do I decide? What's my next move? I decided to move forward. We're starting this church. And now, 5 years later, I can say, there's a Spanish church in Stafford, Virginia, that is growing, that is impacting and changing people's lives, where people are getting baptized and being saved. And I can say that my job was completed because God was there every moment. So my assignment was finished. And God gave me a new one. And it's to be here, a new hope, to continue to expand his kingdom together. That's my new assignment. But God took me back to his promise that he will always be there. And this is what happens to us as Christians. We forget some of those promises God gives us. So today, I want to remind you a promise that God has given each one of us. Matthew 28:20 says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a promise for God to you, to me, to his church, that Christ tells us we are not alone. We are not alone. Christ is with you. He's with me. He's with us. Even when you feel that you are not good enough, you are good enough for him. Even when you are at your lowest, he still sees the best in you. So, what's next for you? What's the next chapter for you today? Today is the day the Lord has made so that you can know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus has forgiven you and that he wants to restore you just like he did to Peter. He says, it's okay, my child. I love you and I will forgive you. It's okay. You don't have to live in shame anymore. I defeated that at the cross. I resurrected it and tell the devil that he ain't no winner. I am the winner. I won. There is victory because I rose from the dead. And that's a promise for you and for me that we are not alone. Jesus calls us to live free in him. And maybe today you are hearing this for the first time. I want to tell you this. If you haven't taken that step of accepting Christ as your heart, that's your next step. That's what you got to do next. And it's easy. It's accepting him as your Lord and Savior, confessing your sins, and living for him. That's how easy it is. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand to come forward, but there's a card in front of you, and you can just say, I want to accept Christ for the first time, and we will guide you. But I want to tell everyone in the room here, just as Peter was restored, we also can be restored. The Lord has a special call upon your life. It's a call that will require you to step to a new unknown. But guess what? He will be there with you. The temptation will be to return to the old ways, because that's what we know. But guess what? Jesus will meet you in your failings. Even when you fall, Jesus will still meet you there. You don't have to come clean to Christ. He's the one that cleans you. Wherever you are at, it doesn't matter. So what's next for you is to trust him. That's what's next for you, is to trust him completely, with all your heart, with all your minds, to trust him. To trust him wherever he sends you to. And what's next for you is also to surrender to him, to give him your family, to give him your projects, to give him your dreams. It was easy for me to go back to Memphis. It was easy to go back to that barbecue. I like food, guys. You guys are going to hear that a lot. It was easy to go back there to what I know. It's hard to start a church. It's hard to do something I've never done before. But God will always be there when you trust him completely. So I started asking questions. What's next after high school? What's next after college? Let me tell you this. If Christ is in the center of every decision you make, your next move will be okay, because Christ is in it. But you have to trust. Sometimes we get lost in trying to figure out the next step. But Christ tells us, just trust me. If your next step is to go to college, go for it. And trust that he'll guide you. If your next step is to get married, go get married. Whatever you do, long as Christ is in it, it's going to be fine. And even if you fall back like Peter did, guess what? He will also restore you. And he will use that opportunity to shape you, to make you stronger, so that you can keep moving forward. If Jesus was here right now, having breakfast with each one of us, and tells us this, New Hope, do you love me? What will you say? Yes, Lord. Then Jesus will reply, then go feed my sheep. If a second time Jesus comes and tells us, New Hope, do you love me? What will you say? Then go feed my lambs. If a third time Jesus tells you, New Hope, do you love me? We'll reply, yes, Lord. Then go feed my sheep. Church, our job is to go and make disciples. Is to feed the sheep. Our next step is to continue growing the kingdom of God. And wherever you are at in your life, God will use that so he can be glorified in it. The reason why my church that I planted worked, because it wasn't my church, is his church. And I surrendered that to him. And being able to step out from it was a hard thing. It wasn't easy. I'm the senior pastor there. Now I have to come here. Lord, let your will be done in my life. You are first. My dream is to make God's dreams come true in me. So if we love the Lord like we say we do, our job is to feed the sheep. That's what we need to do, church. What's next for you can be the turning point of your life if Christ is the center of it. In every decision you make, he needs to be the center of it. When he is not the center of it, you will fall back to your old self. But when he is the center of it, you will move forward to the unknown, trusting that he knows, even when you don't know. Let me pray for you today. Father, I pray for that person who is struggling right now, who is dealing with a situation that is keeping him or her from you, Lord. Father, I pray that we can trust you and surrender to you. Father, I pray that we can know that you are with us 24/7, that you are in us 24/7, that we are not alone. That even when we feel that we don't have it, we know that you have it. Lord, we love you. And we trust you, and we want to continue trusting you. I pray for that person who's hearing this for the first time, that he or she can take that next step in trusting you. Lord, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you restore us. Lord, we know that we are not perfect, but with Christ, we are perfect with Christ. Thank you for Christ. Thank you, Christ, for dying in that cross and resurrecting in the third day and showing us that you are the one true God. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray and we all say, amen. Thank you, church.